sting in his hand and steel in his eyes. His trigger finger never hesitates. A lone figure in the dust, quicker than a shadow, deadlier than a storm. He lives by the bullet, where every showdown could be his last, but it never is. His legend is written in gunpowder and blood, every shot echoing through history. In a world where a heartbeat can cost you everything, he's always a step ahead of death. DJ Outlaw.
Good afternoon. It is 3:08. I'm your host, DJ Outlaw, better known as Navy Seaman Jacob Hart. Here in the studio today, we have John McConnell, who is a U.S. Army veteran, retiree, and student with UMGC. How are you doing today?
Good, man. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah. So everything coming up next is going to be the benefits of being a veteran student in the academic programs with UMGC. Stay tuned and more up next. Welcome back to the studio. I am here with John and UMGC. So why should I attend UMGC after leaving military service?
Yeah, that's a great question. There's a few really good answers. I'll start with this one. If you want to get re-engaged with civilian life, civilian job, whether you're leaving from retirement or leaving after 4 or 5 years, it's a good way to get re-engaged with the civilian world. If you've been separated for it long enough, you'll come to realize that it's something completely different than military life, and so you want to get slowly re-engage with that, unless you're going to like a GS position or something like that on the base, like leaving the uniform one day and coming back in civilian clothes the next day. That's a whole different story. But yeah, just getting re-engaged and realigning yourself for your next career move.
I can see how that would be hard for some people, just not having that strict order of operations. Like, this is what you do, this is who's in charge, this is what you're going to wear, your uniform. Going back and basically having the freedom of civilian could be really confusing after serving.
Yeah, even just picking out like clothes to go to a civilian job or just to go outside in civilian world after military. Yeah, you're absolutely 100% right. You have all this very regimented lifestyle in the military, and then you leave and you're kind of like out there just flapping and trying to figure it out. And a lot of these things that seem really, really minuscule and minute become these big issues, right? They almost to the point where they may cause anxiety and stress and pressure on you. So yeah, you definitely want to prepare for those kind of things.
And I've seen it how when people transition out of the military, the skills that they essentially learned don't quite transfer to civilian life per se. How does UMGC help them to pursue different career paths?
Yeah, beyond having a really great staff, they can bring you in and walk you through the process of what it is you actually want to do and try to line up your goals and aspirations and some of your strengths and figure out what your weaknesses are and try to focus everything into a direction, whether it be the same direction of your military job, if that's what it is, or maybe pointing in a whole nother direction. But you get to sit down with a counselor or maybe two counselors and just kind of figure that out collectively.
And what was your experience with that? Did you have any like particular interests you wanted to pursue with them, or did you want to kind of chase what you already knew and just go further in depth?
Yeah, so I came from a cybersecurity and IT background. I've kind of done that kind of technical thing with my college career up to this point. And when I sat down with the counselor this time around, after being retired out of the military, I really just went through like, what do I want to do? Where am I trying to go? What direction I'm trying to go in? And what's actually out there in that direction? So when I pointed out into the stars and said, I want to be doing this and this and this, it all kind of pointed to like marketing, and specifically media marketing, things like this, radio shows, podcasting, doing social media marketing and things of that nature. So that's where I kind of realigned my compass to.
Okay. And I know we were talking about kind of the gap year between when you get out of military and civilian life and trying to fill that. Would you elaborate?
Yeah. So when you get out, if you haven't already come off of active duty before, especially if you're retiring and you've been in for 20 plus years, or even 17 or 16, if you get medically retired or something like that, there's a huge gap in between you coming off of active military service and then stepping back into that. Not only that, but you have a ton of things you have to do to get prepared for that, right? You have to go through the TAP process or whatever it happens to be called in your particular service. You've got to sit down and start doing resumes. You've got to figure out your finances and make sure your finances are in order so that you can live off of the retirement paycheck, possibly your VA benefits that are coming in, and then whatever job you happen to get into. But a lot of times what people don't realize is you get out and you jump right into a new job, and that's great, and you have income coming in, but you don't have time to process like all those years in the military, all that stringent, like regimented lifestyle, and then getting out and making your own decisions. And there's nobody there to do your HR paperwork. There's nobody there to do your finance paperwork. Like, you have to figure it out. So I always recommend people just take some time and allow yourself to process, whether that's 1 month, 6 months, a year. You've got the time because you've got that kind of safety net with your retirement pay, hopefully. And then you've also got a couple other things that you can do. If you want to get into school and just kind of take a little pause, you can do that and still get a little bit of income from that as well.
Is that kind of your experience after you retired?
Yeah, I took off a few years, a couple years. And then when I decided to re-enroll in UMGC this year, I looked at it from not only the finishing the degree and doing the marketing thing, but also the financial offset that it gave to me. And luckily, I'm in a place here in Sicily where the cost of living is really low, but and I can live basically off of my retirement check if I want to. I have my lifestyle kind of dialed down that way. But the extra money that you get through whatever your VA benefits, whether it's Chapter 33 or Chapter 31 or whatever you're using to pay for school, they also pay you a stipend or a housing allowance depending on which one you use. So that kind of really helps things out if you're doing full time, which for UMGC is literally one online class and one for sure in-person class.
Okay, and we'll get more into that when we come back. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the studio. I am here with John and all things UMGC. So right now we're going to be talking about some financial operations or options for veterans to enroll in school.
Yeah, so the first one I want to talk about is actually for people who are still in service, who are still in uniform. If you know you're going to get out in a year or 2 years, or if you're getting close to that retirement age, like maybe it's 4 or 5 years out, and you've made the decision, like, if you can, and if you think school is going to be your thing, like, try to maximize the TA benefits. You have TA for a reason. It's free. It doesn't cut into any of your VA benefits post-military. So I would actually do that as a first step. If you know you want to go back to school, even if you're just taking the basic courses, like, get the TA benefits out of the way that you can use now while you're still in uniform, and then make some decisions beyond that.
I mean, it makes sense to me to try and get the government to pay for your education while you're in, if you can manage the time, but I think that would be a great option. I mean, I'm looking at it. I just need to get a little bit more established, figure out everything, but once I get in the pattern of it, I know I'm going to be looking at my TA benefits and trying to at least finish my bachelor's before this enlistment's up.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. The second one I'll hit on is a thing called Chapter 33, or most of you probably know it as Post 9/11 GI Bill. Post 9/11 GI Bill is basically a 36-month entitlement for you to attend college based on whatever kind of college it is. Most colleges accept it, and that gives you then the tuition, covers your books and fees, and it also gives you a BAH stipend, which can amount to a decent amount of money depending where you are. That equals the... it's the equivalent of like an E5 BAH, and depending on if you have dependents or not. So that's there. Another thing that they've thrown into that, just this year, back in April, there was a bill that was, not a bill, but there was a thing that happened in court between a guy named Rudisill and McDonough back in April 2024 here, and they've decided, at least as far as I know and from what I can read and what I see on the VA site, that they're going to be able to give you an additional 12 months of that regular GI Bill. So many of you, if you've enlisted a long time ago, 10 or 20 years ago, you know what the original GI Bill was, and you had to opt in or opt out of it. So that is a potential additional 12 months, giving you 48 months of GI Bill Chapter 33.
Okay, so there's a time frame on the GI Bill. I was under the impression that you had a certain amount of money set aside to use for an education, or you could give to your spouse or leave to your kids. I didn't know that there was a certain amount of time that you had to use that money.
There's a time limit. It's a rather large window, but ideally what I did was I just went ahead. I had two children, so I went ahead and gave 1 month to each child just to lock them in. So if I wanted to transfer more to them, I could. And then I just kept the rest in my balance. And so I could shift the money around, because if you don't shift it around at a certain point, then it kind of gets locked. Or if you say you get divorced and you get remarried, there's some different things that happen and you can't move things around. So you want to at least put 1 or 2 months in every single dependent's name. That way you can shift things around and move things around. So at the end of the day, there's still 1 month in each of my children's balances, and I still have 34 months of my own plus this 12 months that I have to probably call the VA and request them to add that on there.
Okay. And so we were talking about Chapter 31. Do you want to elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah. So Chapter 31 is a lesser known education benefit. It's not even an education benefit. It's basically Veterans Rehabilitation and Employment. And this is another VA benefit that you have as a veteran. This will give you potentially up to 48 months of school, including living allowances, which is very similar to BAH, but it's not exactly BAH. The thing I'll say about this, and I just got approved for this, so I can speak to it with a little bit of background with it. I did use my post 9/11 GI Bill for the first half of this year. I was already rated at like 20 or 30%. So I had a VA rating already. And then I started using my Chapter 33 post 9/11 GI Bill. And then I stumbled upon the VR&E program. And basically they just try to help you figure out how to get into a job if you're not able to get a job, you're struggling with it, having a hard time with it. They'll work with you one-on-one and you get assigned a counselor. And so through that whole process, I found out that they will then say, okay, we'll approve you for your school, what you want to do. I think I added on some language certificates and stuff like that. And then they also said, hey, by the way, since you've already used some of your post 9/11, we have a thing called a retroactive induction, which we can request for because you were already rated before you started using it. If you weren't rated before you started using 9/11, then we wouldn't be able to do that. So we put in a request for the retroactive induction. And what they did is they basically took all of those post 9/11 benefits that I used already and they put them right back into my account. So now I have a full balance on my post 9/11 GI Bill. And the VR&E program is paying for my school to finish up my degree program now.
Oh, wow. That's incredible.
It's awesome. It's probably the best known, less known secret of the whole VA program.
Yeah, I hadn't heard anything about it. We've got some more coming up for you next. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the studio. I'm your host, DJ Outlaw, and I'm here with John with UMGC. So how do I start my journey with UMGC?
First place you can go is just contact the UMGC Sigonella Facebook page, or you can visit the office. They're open Monday through Friday from 8 to 4:30. There's a couple people that are always in the office at any given time of the day, so during lunch or whenever you have time, just stop by there. You can do that. They're on NAS1, just right across from the library, and on NAS2 as well. NAS2, they're only there Mondays and Wednesdays, so mostly servicing NAS1. The second way you can do that is you can email Sigonella Europe, sigonella-europe@umgc.edu. And then you can just get direct contact with somebody. And then the third thing you can do if you want to bring it to a broader audience, if you're a commander or somebody who's an E6 or E7 who wants to bring it to their team, you can actually contact UMGC to schedule an educational briefing for your organization or your group as well.
Okay, and I know that you mentioned that you got to get taken off here soon, and I just want to thank you so much for coming into the studio. Is there anything else that you would like to add?
No, it's been great. It's great to be back on the air again and do some things, and I really appreciate your time and having me on, and hopefully I'll be on in the future to talk about some other things, so we'll see what happens. It was great to be here. Thanks.
No, I really appreciate it. You put out some fantastic information that is beneficial to me, and I'm sure to our viewers here. And I just want to say thank you again so much.
Thanks.